In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching. This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
If you were at the espousal last night, you know what I talked about. And if you weren't, you missed it. But today I'm doing another slant on begging. Another slant. And the cure of a crippled beggar. We read it yesterday. Now, come Holy Spirit. Now. Peter and John were going up to the temple area at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And a man crippled from birth was carried and placed at the gate that's called Beautiful Gate, and every day he came to beg, it's all about begging, for alms from the people who entered the temple. And when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, when the beggar saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, the beggar asked for alms. But Peter looked intently at the beggar, and so did John, and he said, look at us. He paid attention to them, expecting to receive something from them. Peter said, I have neither silver nor gold, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. Oh, my Lord. Then Peter took the beggar by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles grew strong. He leapt, stood, walked around, and went into the temple with them, walking and jumping and praising God. And when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the one who used to sit begging at the Beautiful Gate of the temple. And they were all amazed and astonished. My topic today is we have a begging mentality. And I'm going to tell you because we are so insecure, and our begging mentality not only touches the heart of God in our prayer, which it shouldn't be a begging mentality, but our relationships and how we're going to spend our lives. I just want to give you a scenario right now. A man and a woman have been intimate, and she conceives, and he looks at her and says, we can't have this baby. We just cannot have this baby. And what does she do? She begins to beg. Well, what should we do? We need to get rid of this baby. And so she begins to beg because she says, well, if I don't get rid of the baby, what's going to happen? I'm going to lose this man. So what does she do? She is taken to Planned Parenthood, the killing machine, and she goes upstairs and he goes with her. And she's just hoping that this guy is going to be faithful to her now that she's done what he wants. She's a beggar. She's a beggar. What happens? She has the abortion. She has to live with it. And he says, goodbye. Now we have a beggar who's been literally who's killed a child. Now we have a beggar who's killed a child and has lost the one that she loved. So what will she go and do? She must go and beg again. She must go and beg again, because when you have the mentality of begging, then you must be a beggar until you realize that he bought us and we are not beggars. We are children, sons of God. Now, I'm going to tell you, the church is a beggar. Oh, yeah, the church is a beggar. We sit by the beautiful gate, you know. We sit by the beautiful gate, and, you know, we don't really have much to offer, but we have our little tin cup saying, would you come to church today and put some money in our basket? Would you come to church today to put some money in our basket? Rather than, oh, today we're going to be preaching about Jesus. Today we're going to preach about his power. Today we're going to preach about the blood. Today we're going to preach about mercy. Today we're going to preach about the glory. Oh, yes. Do you know what Sunday is? Sunday is Mercy Sunday. Oh, God wants to give mercy to his people. Rather than preach that, Because most priests have no idea that it's Mercy Sunday. How do I know? Because they've already gone through the Triduum. And I'm going to tell you what most people say. I know we've gone, worked very hard to the Triduum. We did a lot of things, you know. We poured ourselves out. Mercy Sunday is just the octave of Easter. And there's no, you know, most people don't even know about Mercy Sunday. So please come to church today, because we need you to come. Today we're having a car wash to raise money for our Boy Scouts. And next week we have a bean supper so that we'll have beans and hot dogs. And we hope you will come. It's a begging mentality. I tell you, when I have a supper, it's not for me. When I have a supper, we put on a supper for somebody else. We don't go begging from people. We don't ask money for ourselves. We do it for pro-life when we have suppers. Because, you see, I'm not a beggar. God supplies for me. I don't have to worry about begging because I have a Father in heaven who's a trillionaire. A trillion, 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 trillionaire. And I just need to be doing the right things. And I need to be doing what he's telling me to do. I don't have to beg from anybody. You can say one thing about me on this radio program. You've never heard me beg. I don't beg. I give the name. I tell them I need, but I do not beg. I'm not going to tell you, you know, if I don't get this, God is going to do something to you. I'm not into it. If I don't get this money, you want to know what? God doesn't want me on the radio anymore. It's as simple as that, because I'm not begging. God never called me to be a beggar. He called me to be a preacher. And with the word of God comes the money so that we can pay our bills. That's the way it is. I don't have to be a beggar. I don't have to sit by the beautiful gate and beg. You know why? Because I have my Lord who takes care of my financial needs, because they're his financial needs, because it's his name that I'm proclaiming, and it's not my name I'm proclaiming. Understand what I'm saying? I don't have to beg, and I don't have to have a begging mentality. But the church has a begging mentality. Take, for instance, that we sold Boston College, all of the property, St. John's Seminary for the most part. Seminary, yeah. We were begging. Oh, how many millions can you give us? Oh, how many millions? Rather, listen, I would not sell my property to heretics. Their theology is heretical. But when you have a begging mentality, you see, you compromise. And that's one of the attributes of begging. You compromise. You prostitute yourself when you have a begging mentality. Because you do not realize who you are. You do not realize what you have. You do not realize that what God has given you, the church, it is the most powerful thing in the whole world. It is the message of salvation. It is the light of the world. It is God Almighty working through you. You do not have to beg. You do not have to go around begging, but proclaiming the goodness of the Lord, proclaiming his mercy, proclaiming his power, proclaiming his healing mercy, proclaiming his joy, proclaiming Jesus as the one true God, the one true one, the intercessor between God and man. Hallelujah. Begging. But you see, we're constantly begging. And so the box comes around, people, you know, the box comes around and it's time for the collection. And so what do we see? We see dollars, because we're beggars. We have beggars in the seats, because you know what? They're not going to be putting anything in that. They've not taken any ownership of the church, many people. They put a buck in. You know what a buck is worth today? Probably 23 cents. Probably 23 cents. In 1968, I was giving $5. Now, what's $5 worth today? That wasn't my tithe. That was extra. Because you know what? I'm not a beggar. I'm not a beggar. I don't have to beg. It's really funny. At this point, I do not have an automobile. But I have two to drive around in. Okay? The last automobile I got, you know, I could have kept for myself. It was a lovely Buick. But you know what? Sister needed an automobile. So I gave it to Sister. You want to know why? Because she needed it. I'm not a beggar. I had two at my disposal. So the point of the matter is this. You know, if we have a begging mentality, then we are always into compromise. If you put some money in my pot, I'm going to do this for you. I'll have the abortion, you see, and I'm sure that he'll stay with me. Oh, yeah, don't hold your breath. You see, in order for me to keep this person, I've got to beg. I will take this abuse. Yeah, you'll take the abuse, and one day you'll end up dead. You'll end up dead. Do you have a begging mentality? You have a begging mentality. You do not realize you're a daughter of God. You do not realize you're a son of God. You do not realize that you do not have to take this from anybody. You do not realize that you do not need to take crumbs from the table, because God has given you the whole loaf. He's given you his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for your sins, who rose from the dead, and who pours out his Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. You don't have to beg. But if you want to live in that begging mentality, have a lovely day. Because you know what? You'll die a beggar. Well, that man was a beggar. He was by the beautiful gate begging. And he wasn't stupid, though. He wasn't a stupid beggar, because he realized people were on their way to the temple and maybe they had a good heart. And this is where I'm going to station myself. So when people come in, I'm going to get something. But then Peter and John walk by him. They look at the beggar. They knew him. They had seen him so many times. What happened? Silver and gold I have not, but what I give you, I give you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, get up and walk. And what happens? He took his arm and he started to jump, leap, and praise the Lord. And this became the very topic of discussion about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that everyone knew this man as a beggar, and now he's off the dole, and now he's got to go to work. And I guess that's why people beg, because you see, if we beg, we don't have to go to work. We have that mentality that you got to take care of me. You got to, no. You don't have to take care of me. I can take care of myself by the grace of the living God. That does not mean that I don't need people to care for me. I'm not going to expect people to take care of me. Because you know what? They can't take care of me. They can't take care of me. If I can't take care of myself by the grace of the living God, no one's going to take care of me. If I don't have initiative, no one's going to have initiative. If you're into this mentality, I've got to be taken care of, get over it today. You're nothing but a beggar. You're nothing but a begging mentality and compromising and prostituting yourself. You don't need to do that today. You do not need to do that today. You do not need to be a beggar. For everyone who believed in him, they gave the power to become sons of God. Beloved, you are God's son now. What you shall later be has not yet come to light. We know when it comes to light, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Don't have to beg. Don't have to beg. When we go to the throne of grace, you know what the scripture says? We can enter confidently through the blood of Jesus. It doesn't say we can enter as beggars. Confidently, we have a hearing before the throne of grace through the blood of Jesus. Confidently, with faith. That's what it means. I think of the movie Oliver, when Oliver goes up to the man, "Sir, more gruel, please." And that's the way we are with God, thinking that God is nothing but a miser, nothing but a cheapskate. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us. Will he not give us all things beside? But I'm going to tell you, it takes initiative to get going. It takes initiative to destroy, to crucify the beggar in you. To crucify, because that beggar is nothing but the flesh. That beggar is nothing but the flesh that wants to be cared for, taken care of. And I'm going to tell you, my friends, we do need to care for each other, but we do not need to compromise when we care for each other. I'm going to tell you, if somebody wants to care for me, fine, but I will not compromise and I will not prostitute myself for any reason, because I'm a son of God and I belong to God through the blood of Jesus. I've been adopted. I will not compromise. I'm not a beggar. God taught me this a long time ago. I came into great relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ in 1968. First time I really had friends, but my experience was the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And you know what? That meant I had to choose my friends or the Lord. Oh, yes, I stayed with my friends, but I saw the gap getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And you know what? I wasn't going to beg, please be my friend. I said, no, you are more important than friendship. And if I never have a friend, you want to know what? You are more important, and the way you call me is more important. Did it hurt? Of course it hurt, but I'm going to tell you, there was no begging. I wasn't on my knees. Would you still be my friends? But I'm going to tell you, there is that part of me that when I left St. Pius V school, you know, in my dreams, I had no idea where I was going. This is before I went into the seminary. I would dream of the Superior, Sister Margaret Ann, and I would be on my knees kissing her hand saying, take me back, take me back, take me back. In my subconscious, I wanted to beg. I wanted to beg and not trust God. But you know what? That was in my subconscious, and I never let it be happen. I never let it happen. Because I was so insecure, so afraid. What was going to happen to me? You know, I had no support. I had no support from anybody but the Lord. And he was absent. And I was between trapezes, so to speak. And so I would dream nightly of kissing her hands. Take me back. Not on your life. That might be my fear, but I'm not going down that road, buddy, because I'm not a beggar. I'm not a beggar. It's like that when I go and preach someplace. I go only where I'm asked to preach. Wherever I'm asked to preach, I preach. No one's going to tell me how to preach. If you get me, you're going to have to trust me. Or else I don't want to come. You have a nice day. I don't need your stipend. I'm not a beggar. I just went, did a mission in Virginia. The priest said, how much money would you like? I said, Father, I don't ask for money. You give me what you want to give me. I do not put a price on the gospel. I am not a beggar. I do not put a price on the gospel. I do not put a price about my pouring my life out on people. I do not put a price. You cannot put a price on that. I'm not a beggar. I'm not. Are you a beggar? If you're a beggar, you're into compromise. If you're a beggar, you're into prostitution. And you're prostituting yourself. And it's time to realize you're a son. You're a daughter. You've been bought with the price. You've been bought with the blood of the Lamb. If you're a beggar, you're out of the will of God. If you think God is cheap, you have no idea who the Father is. Because he who did not spare his own son, will he not give us all things beside? The begging mentality. The begging mentality. I'm a person of color, so I deserve more. No, you don't deserve more, and you don't deserve less. Because you know what? We're all colored blind. We're all colored blind. The one who gets the job should be the one who is the greatest in the job. Oh, you see, I had epilepsy, and as a result, you know, you should favor me. No, not favor me because I had epilepsy. I should not be favored. I should not be pampered. No, I'm not a beggar. Or I'm a small person. You have to treat me differently because I'm small. Well, listen, I've seen some small people with very big egos that knew how to do great things. You could be a beggar because you're a small person. Or I'm 35 years old and I don't have a husband. Yeah, good for you. Good for you. You don't have a husband, because I'm going to tell you, don't get the wrong one, because you'll live in misery for the rest of your life. It's better to be single. I've told many people that. You know what? It's better to be single than to be with someone that's miserable. Better to be single. Oh, I know the difficulty. But you know what? Better to be alone than to be with a drunk. Better to be alone than to be with a drug addict. Better to be alone than to be with a cheater. Better to be alone than to be with a philanderer. Better to be alone! But you see, our insecurities start to work. I'm 35. My biological clock is ticking, and it's going to be completely... So what do? We prostitute ourselves. We get second best when we don't know who we are, the children of God. The children of God meant to make a mark on this earth that's so crazy. I take you back to Cardinal Law. When all this scandal came about, remember? I'm going to tell you he acted like a beggar. Because you know what? He could have used all that time to preach. He could have preached mercy. He could have preached we sinned. He could have preached God has a new gift for us. He could have preached that, like David, we've done the wrong thing. But you know what? The Lord is merciful, and he wants to help these people. He wants to help us. He never has left us nor forsaken us. They could have used all that airtime to preach. But what did we do? Yeah. And why didn't we do it? Because we didn't want public opinion to be bad about us. Well, the public opinion about us stunk. Could have raised up Jesus Christ. Could have raised up the cross. You have the microphone. You've got the cameras. They've got you on every single day. Why don't you say something? But we prostitute ourselves because we don't want to be rejected. So we beg, just like a dog, for a bone. Are you a beggar today? If you have a begging mentality, I ask you to go to the cross and crucify it. It's the flesh. Are you a beggar today? Then you don't know who you are. Ask the Lord to let you realize you're a son or a daughter. You need to know you're a son or a daughter. You need to know your sonship. You need to know that in Christ you are his and he is yours. You need to know that. You don't have to be by the beautiful gate begging for anybody or for anything. Because you've got a God who hears you when you speak, and he answers your prayer. You've got a God who will never leave you nor forsake you. You've got a Savior who rose from the dead and conquered sin, Satan, the death, and grave. But I know our old habits are hard to break, especially begging habits. Old begging habits are hard to break. Because poor me. Oh, yeah, I know. I've been there. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And if you want to be a beggar, have a nice day. Get a couple of pennies in your little cup. That'll be fine. But my Lord says, given it shall be given to you. Pressed down, shaken together, and flowing over into your robe. The Lord doesn't call me to beg. He calls me to give. If you're into begging, I'm telling you, he wants to bring you into giving. Begging is not for the children of God. May I have a crumb, O God, when he says, a crumb, I've given you my body, I've given you my blood, I've given you my life, I've given you my spirit. You want a crumb? You make me feel so sad because you have no idea what I've given you, and you act like you need a crumb, and I've given you the whole loaf. Now go and do likewise. Go and serve my people. Go and love my people. Get out of this begging mentality. It's the best thing that could ever happen to you. For the grace, we pray in Jesus' name. Listen, tonight is Thursday, and we will have a surprise mass tonight at the Holy Rosary at 7:30. Surprise, surprise, surprise. And we won't be begging either. We're going to be declaring no begging. Declaring no begging. So you come tonight at 7:30 at the Holy Rosary. It's a surprise mass. Let me also tell you about the Eucharistic Congress that's going to take place Friday, March 28th, and Saturday, March 29th. For college young people and older, but not old people. This is for young people. Young. 6 p.m. Registration and music at St. Stephen's Church in the North End on Friday evening. 7 p.m. prayer and music. St. Stephen's Church in the North End on Saturday. 10:30 a.m. registration and music. 10:30 on Saturday the 29th. This is the time for young people, college people, to come and praise the Lord. It's a Eucharistic Congress. A Congress, the preached word will be proclaimed. God will do new things and work new wonders. Come on, bring the young. Bring the young. I'm so tired of seeing only old people. Though old people are wonderful. But you know what? Where is the church going to be when we're all dead? Bring the young. You don't have to beg them. Tell them there's something great for you there. God's got a plan for your life. Listen, tonight, 7:30, we will be having a surprise mass at Holy Rosary in Winthrop. Also, I want to tell you, I need to hear from you, Father Tom, Post Office Box 602 East Boston, Mass. 02128. And next Wednesday, I think that's the 3rd of April, we will be at the Espousal Retreat House. We had a wonderful time last night, and you missed it. But next week, we hope it will be better by the grace of the living God. May Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who is not a beggar, but a servant, and the Lord bless you today. He's been raised from the dead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have a great day. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.
In Season and Out of Season is sponsored by In Season and Out of Season.